Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
Good morning. That video almost makes me cry. I got a couple of tears the first service watching that. My name is Nikki. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege of delivering our message today. I first wanted to start out by wishing, of course, everybody happy Mother's Day. I was thinking earlier as I was preparing for this week about how as the seasons of my life have evolved as a mom, so has my Mother's Day experience. I think the first time I got to experience Mother's Day as a mother, I had a newborn baby, and I remember feeling anxious and overwhelmed, and distinctly remember the thought come through my mind like, man, now I'm officially a grown-up. I have a child, now I have to be a grown-up. But right now, the season of life for me, just being a mom just brings me so much joy and gratitude, as I'm sure it does for many of you in here. And while that's the season that I'm in right now, I really do feel it's important that we are aware of the women in our lives that may not find today a joyful day today, the current season of their life. And there's a lot of things that could be happening in the lives of those around you, as mothers may have lost a child, or maybe you're a child that's lost your mother. Fertility and maybe wanting to have a child and not being able to. We just wanted to desperately say that we are here for you, and we acknowledge you, and we want to bless you today. So let's pray together before we get started. Thank you for being present among us, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that you would just be here to bless the hearts of everybody here. I pray, God, that you would just provide the comfort that's needed and the joy. I just pray, Lord, that you would work through me, Lord, and deliver a message that speaks to the hearts of everybody here so that they may just lean into you this week and just learn some ways, God, that they can one another with each other and just glorify you. We just give you, Lord, all the praise, all the glory, and we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so before continuing on with my interpretation of our next step for relationship, that's the sermon series we're in right now, I wanted to really quick recap on Luke and Luke's discussion last week and what he talked about. And he really brought up the idea of looking and perceiving one another in our church body as brothers and sisters, as family, breaking down the categorizations of gender or socioeconomic status, ethnicity, age, everything. And just by looking at each other and scripture through a relationship lens and to one another. Did you guys like that? The one another from last week? What'd you think of that? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to start with the beginning. I wanted to begin with the beginning. So when God created us, both men and women, in Genesis, it was to help one another and to exist in community and not to be alone. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" When God created us, he did so in his image. Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground.' So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Jackie Rose, she's the co-author of Relationship. I really like a quote that she wrote in her book, and it says this: "It appears God's design for governing his creation is men and women in partnership, mutuality, in home, church, community, and in the world." And here at the Vineyard, we really do strive to create spaces for community and fellowship and relationship together. And it might not always be perfect, and it might not always be pretty, because while everybody's needs are not cookie cutter, one size fits all, we are all individuals and uniquely designed and have different needs. But we really care about each other here. In fact, when I am talking about my experiences here a lot, describing things that I do, I usually refer to you guys as friends, like family. And that kind of stemmed from years ago when Lena would ask me, Mom, is that my grandma or my grandpa or is that my aunt and uncle? And the best way I could describe it to her was, they're friends, like family. They're more than friends, they're family, but we're not related. And I think that describes a lot about what our experience is here at the Vineyard. So let's elaborate on what it means to one another. What does that look like? And I don't know if any of you had a chance to look at some of the scriptures that Luke posted last Sunday, but I wanted to share five of them with you today and some practical examples on how to one another. And the first one is to forgive one another. The scripture he referenced was Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think that means don't just say that you forgive someone, but actually forgive them. It's a feeling in your heart when you forgive somebody. It changes. And what's hard about that is that when you go to forgive somebody, that stemmed out of pain. When you to forgive someone means you first have had experienced pain or anger or sadness. So it's challenging that forgiveness, the catalyst, is pain. So when we one another and we're looking through a relationship lens, we are all family. We all make mistakes. We don't always make the right decision or say the right thing. But what we do have is the Holy Spirit within us. And that nurtures, the Holy Spirit nurtures our hearts and can provide us healing from within. I've had countless experiences where I have been hurt by someone or someone I love. But what no one really tells you about forgiveness and the challenges is that sometimes it's more difficult to explain to others why you forgave somebody that didn't apologize or didn't deserve it. They don't understand it. They don't even acknowledge that they may have done something that could hurt you in the first place. Has anybody ever had someone say, why are you forgiving that person when they don't even know that they hurt you or they're not saying they're sorry? It's a difficult position to be in to explain to somebody why you're doing that. I've had that happen countless times. And it can be really hard, but all I can say is that I can't control what others do or others say. I can't make them want to see beyond themselves. I can't, all I can do is control my actions and practice what I preach, right? Words mean nothing if my actions aren't reflecting my belief. Jesus forgives me over and over and over. He is my example and he is who I'm accountable to, nobody else. And when he was dying on the cross for us, he prayed to God to forgive them. As he was dying, he prayed, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. But as Christians, we're supposed to be setting that example of forgiveness, especially to those that don't. Working in the kids' ministry has been an amazing experience for me when it comes to witnessing forgiveness because children's hearts are so open to forgive. When they get hurt, it's just sobbing and, the world's crashing down all around them. But one, I'm sorry from the person that hurt them, and it's okay, and they run off and go play together like nothing ever happened. We don't do that as adults, do we? It's a little harder, right? I think we could kind of learn a thing or two from kids as far as forgiveness is concerned. Another way we can one another is to accept each other. Romans 15:7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. To accept someone means to accept them for who they are right now, how God made them. Not for who they could be, not for who you want them to be, but who they are now. It's an incredible way to glorify God by accepting people that he brings into your life. Just acknowledging them as valid, believing in them and having faith in them, not with just with words, but how you treat them. An example could be, you know, do you cut people out of your life that are difficult, or do you simply create boundaries? How can we inspire others to find Jesus if we are never around them or living as an example? Now, I'm not saying that we should be a doormat or that we should only be around people that are difficult or that we should condone ungodly lifestyles. I'm simply saying that there is a much bigger chance for us to reach people for the kingdom if we're immersed among those people that need it the most. Another example that Luke talked about was to serve one another. Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love." The dictionary defines serve as a verb. It's an action word. To help or to aid, lend a helping hand, to make a contribution to something greater, or to do something for those that can't do on their own. A great example for that in my life, being on the receiving end of that, was when Corey and my home flooded about almost four years ago at 8:30 at night. A levee washed out just a few miles from our house. My kids had just turned 2 and 4, and a wall of water came onto our property and literally into our front door, and we lost everything we had in our home except what was hanging on the walls. And that was the first time that we had ever really been in a position of need and desperation. We had nothing, but people would meet me with furniture and clothes and would bring us meals and snacks and baked goods and food. And it was really hard for us because Corey and I were givers. And so it was really a challenge for us to be in a place where we were in need and to receive those blessings, and all we had to give in return was a thank you and a hug. And it was a huge stretch for us, and we learned so much through that experience. It was one of the hardest things that we'd ever gone through, but it completely changed our outlook on serving. That was the first time we'd ever received cooked meals from people. And you know, I didn't even have a kitchen at the time, and so a fully cooked meal was life-changing for me and my little ones. So that's a good example for us to think about when it comes to serving, how little things that you do for somebody, it might seem small, like making a meal, but it can be incredibly life-changing and just mean the world to someone that's on the receiving end of that. Another way that we can one another is to honor. Romans 12:10, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other with genuine affection." I really liked looking into the concept of honoring to share with you guys today. It basically expressed how we can recognize the value in people as individuals and appreciate what they do in the lives of others and in our lives. Just simple recognition can really go a long way in honoring somebody. Supporting and encouraging someone, or protecting people from those that would do them harm is another way we can honor them. Personally, what I really enjoy when it comes to honoring someone and their story is being a listener and actually asking questions about people and being interested in their lives. One of my favorite things to do is to ask people what their story is and celebrate the ingredients that have made them into who they are right now. There's so much opportunity to relate to somebody and connect to them on a deeper level when you learn that you've been to some of the same places, you've been through some of the same pains and the same joys, and maybe even have some of the same hobbies, that you can begin to create long-term friendship and relationships. So honoring people, appreciating and supporting people on their unique journeys. And next is my favorite, of course, is love. Romans 13:8, "To let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law." And I really like this scripture because it doesn't paint like a sunshine and roses picture of love, does it? It says the continuing debt to love one another, like we'll never pay that debt. We're constantly going to be outpouring love. And if you do love, you're obeying the law. You're obeying God's law. I really liked this when I looked it up and was doing some research. I asked Corey in preparation for this, what are some words that you think of to describe love? And he gave me some examples, but I wanted to see if any of you had some examples to describe what the word love is. Anybody want to share? Grace? Unconditional, yeah. What was that? Kindness, yes. Jesus is love, yes. Acceptance, these are amazing, yes. Some of the things that Corey talked about went hit a little close to home for him, but one was patience. The next was sacrifice. I was like, okay, this is not going the way that I thought it was going to go. He said grace and giving, safety, and acceptance. A lot of the similar ones that you guys had mentioned today. And when I hear all these words and I was hearing what he was sharing, it just made me really think of Jesus. It all led to Jesus and how he loved and embodied all of those things while he was here on earth with us. God is love, and we should aspire to show love as he did. And personally for me, a wonderful example of someone that has really been a great example for that in my life is my grandmother. She might be watching right now on the Facebook Live if you are. Hi, Grandma and Mom. Happy Mother's Day. So my grandma, she is pretty much one of the most amazing people I've ever met. And growing up, I wanted to be just like her. In fact, I would say she's kind of the reason why I even was curious about who Jesus was and faith at all. Anytime I went to her house, she always had my favorite foods, everything that I loved. So I didn't get those things at home a lot, so it was really awesome as a kid. And we would go and we'd sit in her front yard swing and solve the world's problems. She still has that swing, and we still do that sometimes. And as a child or teenager, when I would mess up, which I did, I haven't made the best choices all the time. It just is what it is. The worst punishment my parents could think of for me was to call my grandmother and tell her what I'd done. This is literally the worst punishment in the world. I would rather have had no technology, no car, been locked in my room, anything, but have to call her and tell her that because I wasn't afraid of making her angry or I wasn't afraid of her. I just didn't want to disappoint her. And I remember calling her phone, yes, it was landline, and pushing the little digits. And the second I would hear her voice, I would start bawling. I'm so sorry. Yeah, this is what I did. And what she said to me pretty consistently was, oh, honey, that doesn't sound like you. Are you okay? What's going on? Tell me what happened. We'll talk it out. We'll figure it out. It's going to be all right. And it was so comforting and so convicting at the same time. I would apologize over and over and over again. Her unconditional love was so transformative in my heart and has helped mold me into who I am today. In fact, when I began kind of my journey as a Christian, that's kind of how I envisioned repentance to Jesus. When I would go to Jesus and I would say, Lord, I'm so sorry, this is what I did. And I just envision him saying, I forgive you, and I love you. Oh, make me emotional just thinking about that. But that's how I want to lead people to Jesus, is by loving them. So when we think about practical applications of all these things, how to look at each other in this space of brothers and sisters this week, and as family members, the good and the bad, we can maybe think about some ways that you can forgive somebody that maybe hasn't even not known that they've hurt you, or maybe they don't even really care. Try and think about ways that you can forgive, even maybe in your church community, someone that might have said something or done something and not even known it. Maybe think about a way that you can reach out to somebody and ask them their story, or how you can serve or cook a meal, or maybe know someone that might not be having the best Mother's Day today and reaching out to them, just being a friend. Practice universal love that's not cookie cutter or broken apart into categories or conditions. And I was thinking about this, and I thought I really wanted to encourage everybody to first try to take a minute and look at yourself through Jesus' eyes. Just to look at yourself and receive his love and receive all of those good things that he has for you, and just allow that to help overflow into relationships. Become friends with people who aren't your age, or hang out with people whose first language maybe isn't the same as yours. Get to know someone that doesn't come from your typical day-to-day life, maybe a neighbor. Because this is how we can change the world around us, our community, and this is how we grow from the inside out. So with that, I wanted to pray us out today and just encourage everybody and just hope that there's something in here that could speak to your heart this week and help you to think of each other as family. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are so blessed by your example that you have given us. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you broke down barriers and categories, that status didn't matter, and how much money you had doesn't matter, and what you look like doesn't matter. But all that matters, God, is that we believe in you and we love you, and through that we're family. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to everybody's hearts here, and that you would help us, God, to take steps this week to glorify you and begin to be transformed, God, by the inside, from the inside. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless everybody. I pray that you would receive the glory. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, really quickly, before you go, these baby bottles are in the back. They're collecting these Father's Day. So if you can go home, find some change in your couch or in your car, fill these baby bottles and bring them back as you go. It's really gonna be a huge blessing for the babies and moms in our community. So they're on the back on your way out. If you wanna pick one up and participate, we would love for you to do that. Have a good week.